This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're all part of a global capitalist economy, a system that promised to benefit the rich and the poor alike. Yet, youth unemployment rate has been on the rise, salaries have stagnated for close to 20 years, despite the massive increase in cost of living, cost of education is at an all-time high, and the average millennial and Gen Z cannot even afford adequate housing on a single paycheck, despite it being a fundamental human right. So, what went wrong, and what's the solution? I'm Darshan Johan, and this is Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box, a series that explores various issues through a leftist or socialist prism with Parti Socialist Malaysia. On the second episode of the series, we take a look at wages. Why are our wages, whether it's minimum wage or even fresh graduate wages and so on, so low? I'm joined on the show by Sivarajini Manikam. She's the Workers Bureau Chief at Parti Socialist Malaysia. Welcome to the show. Now, Sivarajini, let's start with some history first. When did the concept of minimum wage come about in Malaysia? And what did work, this idea of work, what did it look like before the implementation of minimum wage?
Even this terminology, minimum wage, was started like when we were in the golden age, like in 1940s, when the time like where in Malaysia, rich with big unions. In Malaysia, where 60% of the workers in the countries were unionized, and one of the biggest union, like Pan-Malaysian Federation of Trade Union, was actively campaigning about the minimum wage at those days. But we know after the post-emergency, and then the unions all died, and then the issue of minimum wage was kept there. And then later, like we see like in 2002, something like some of the groups, grassroots groups like JERIT, Jaringan Rakyat Tertindas, which is like a PSM-led front, one of the leading grassroots movement for the minimum wage in this country. And that's where we started to campaign like we need a minimum wage in this country because workers are being paid too low. Their wages are like kept in 300 per month, 400 per month. So we need some kind of protection for the workers. So the needs of minimum wage is always there. So we all came together and then like we started to campaign. So after a long battle, like I think I myself involved since 2002 in, right. In the minimum wage campaign. Like it's a long battle. And at that time when we started our campaign, it was like we started with the 900 at that point of time as a minimum wage. You know, we started to campaign as 900. And then you see after more than 10 years later in 2013, the minimum wage law was implemented in Malaysia. And even after 10 years later, the number, the amount was implemented was 900 for the Peninsula Malaysia. And it is like, again, there was a two set of minimum wage, which is like Peninsula Malaysia, they implemented 900. And East Malaysia, Sabah and Sarawak, they went with the 800. It's far more low. This is the minimum wage, like after a long struggle, you know, with a lot of workers involved in fighting for this minimum wage in this country. So it wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy for the more than 10 years of struggle.
For a period of time, especially after like the unions and all were crushed, and before the implementation of minimum wage in Malaysia, that's in 2013, there was this long period where, you know, workers were getting 300 ringgit, 400 ringgit and things like that. How were the owning class, the ruling elites, you know, and the ultra wealthy people who own the factories and all of these things, how were they able to get away with it for so long? Get away with just paying workers 300, 400 ringgit, which is so far below what a living wage would look like.
We must understand this ruling class, thinking is also like the class, capitalist class thinking, you know, right. It's a business class thinking. The thinking area is like, oh, when we increase the wages, so we will have less profit. This is where the government roles comes in. How do they want to regulate the wages? Even the government were in thinking in thinking like the market force will regulate the wages, you know, like the demand and supply will decide, like when there's a high demand in the market, then the wages will go increase eventually. But what we see in the long run, that formula has failed. Means there was a systematically, there was a plan to reduce or suppress the wages by the companies or by the bosses, by the business classes. And also, this is also another like issue in our country. You see, like, there's a huge number of migrant workers in these countries. Mm-hmm. So that's also, there's another area where like they bring the migrant workers, more and more migrant workers, to keep the wages low for even for the local workers. So right. That was systematically planned, you know. The market force has failed, actually. The market force has failed to regulate the wages. This was acknowledged by the government during the implementation of the minimum wage in Malaysia. He even, human resource minister, in one of the statements, he said, the market force has failed to regulate the wages for workers in these countries. And the bigger population of the workers are living in the poverty. Wages are being suppressed far low by the business classes. So we have, the market forces have failed to do the increase the wages. So we need to do something. That's where the Minimum Wage Act came in place.
But what's also particularly interesting is that for many, many years, especially when you look at the last 20 years or so, the cost of living has increased, but the wages have just stayed the same, other than, let's say, if you look at the recent hike of minimum wage to 1,500 ringgit, other than certain small changes like that, the wages have remained the same, whereas cost of living has increased and increased and increased. Why has this happened?
Previously, I also said like about the market forces. Mm-hmm. They systematically, they plan to suppress the wages. And also we have like a lot of like a pro-investors policies in place. Like we always have this mentalities, and always the business classes will tell, oh, if we increase the wages and the investors will run away from
right.
the country. So we need to make sure there's the investment in the country. We need to make sure there's a business's growth in the countries. So they play this kind of like game, you know. They tell you like, oh, if you increase the wages, definitely the investors will go to another country.
Right.
Actually, we need to change that game plan. We need to come up with an idea like in Southeast Asia, for example. Not in only in Malaysia, the wages are low. Throughout this, everywhere, in the region, the wages are low. Mm-hmm. Because this is the politics that the investors class are playing. So we need to come up with the idea, and then we need to sit together and then think, how do we want to set a standard for the Southeast Asia level of wages. Government have to play a very crucial role in this, like our role in ASEAN. Mm-hmm. We have to bring it up, this issue in the ASEAN level. We cannot buy this investors' argument always, you know. Just because, okay, the wages are going to be increased in Malaysia, or they can run away to Indonesia to get a more cheaper labor.
Right.
We have to curb this problem. So we need to set a standard. Wherever they run, they're going to pay this much of cost for the labor.
Right.
So that kind of system we need to be talking about. And also there's another biggest problem we need to acknowledge, like workers solely rely on this minimum wage now. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the workers have no bargaining power over their wages right. with their employers. Because there is no unions. Who will do this bargaining of the wages and all other benefits? Mm-hmm. When you have less unions exist in the country, less workers are unionized. So the only way of like making sure the wages keep increasing based on this cost of living is like government's enforcement,
right.
government enforcement of the minimum wage. Okay, if you think like, okay, we don't need this minimum wage, we don't need to talk about this minimum wage, then you need to think about, okay, how do you want to give the more power to the workers in the country to get more unionized, mm-hmm. so that they can negotiate, so that they can bargain for the better deal mm-hmm. with the employers. So we need to like see in two levels. One is like the pro-investors policies, and also like the problems like existing in the countries, like not allowing the workers to unionize, and we have less workers are unionized, so we have less power to bargain for the wages or any other related benefits. The big organization, like big agencies like Bank Negara, they even acknowledge this factor. They even said that, yes, the cost of living has increased, and there is a need for increasing the wages. And they even come out openly and say it, like why we need, like at this point of time, like one person to live in KL without any family commitments, only one person, he needs like a wages of 2,700 minimum to handle this cost of living. So that level of like increase in cost of living happened. When we talk about the cost of living, the government themselves said in 2020, if we go back to their statistic, government statistic, they said, oh, now the poverty rate also increased in Malaysia. They said like, oh, now the poverty line is like 2,200. The cost of living increase, the poverty rate also increase, but our minimum wage, the wages, but the wages are kept like low. The last minimum wage was like 1,100 and in some areas was 1,200. And now when we increase 300, of course, there were some many objections from the business classes and employers, but it is still, when you look at the poverty rate, 2,200 and 1,500 is far more low. You right. still have a lot of people who are going to be live in the poverty. So by enforcing this minimum wage, you are not really tackling the real poverty in the working class.
Shouldn't minimum wage be a living wage?
Actually, that should be the concept.
Right.
But when we looked at it, the reality.
Yeah.
See, the reality didn't tell us like that.
Absolutely.
Means like many of the employers today even thinks this minimum wage is a maximum wage. So, like, the idea is changed, you know.
Right.
They think the minimum wage is the maximum wage. We must think about the living wage, because the cost of living should be taken into account when you set a standard mm-hmm. for the wages in the country. But we see there's a mismatch is happening.
Right. Now, Sivaranjini, I want to bring up an argument that many people, when you talk about the minimum wage, this is the argument against it. And the argument against it, one of the most popular arguments I've heard, is that if you increase the minimum wage, you won't change anything, because what will happen is once you increase the minimum wage, cost of living will increase. People will increase all the price of goods, because now they have to pay all their employees and workers like higher salaries. So they'll increase the price of goods. They'll increase the prices of houses. They'll increase the prices of everything. And so you shouldn't increase the minimum wage. As a socialist, how would you refute this argument?
We can actually say it the other way around, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can say when you increase the wages, you can increase the living standard of the people. Actually, you can increase the buying power of the people, of the workers. So you can increase the growth in the economy, in the market. And it will increase the demand. And it will increase the productivity. So we can go the other side of argument also. Like, because of the inflation, the wages need to be increased. So the business class always think like inflation is only caused by the wage per
right.
se. Wages mm-hmm. per se. So there's also other factors involved for the inflation, like demand and supply of currency, the lack of enforcement, and the storing of items and other methods. So, but we always end up when we talk about like the wages is the only one will increase the inflation.
Right.
So we want to change that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That narrative is the business class narrative, which is not true at all.
How are countries, if you look to countries like Denmark, how are they able to implement very fair wages? Because when we look at a country like Denmark, even if you work in a fast food restaurant like McDonald's, you can get $22 per hour, you know, and this is on top of annual leave, maternity leave, medical leave, things like that. How are countries like Denmark able to do this?
They don't even have a legal minimum wage like amount.
Okay.
But what makes sure the workers enjoy like very fair wages in their country and also like a very good benefits? Because one of the important things, and we see like in Denmark, like 70% of the workers are unionized.
Right.
So it's like around 2/3 of their workforce are unionized. This shows they have a better bargaining power with their employers, better bargaining power to their businesses. And they really have like, can bargain a good wages through the collective agreement. This is like an opposite situation how we are now in Malaysia, where we have 6% of the unionization and the workers have no bargaining power at all. And we do not have a collective agreement in place to negotiate a better wages. So obviously, a developed country with 70% of the unionized workers, of course, they could enjoy a better deal.
Right.
And they are really enjoying a better wages.
On the show with me today is Sivaranjani Manikam. She's the Workers' Bureau Chief at Parti Socialist Malaysia. After the break, I ask her if raising wages, especially the minimum wage, will cause businesses to go bankrupt and shut down. Keep it here on Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Darshan Johan. And on the second episode of our Think Left series, I'm joined by Sivaranjani Manikam. She's the Workers' Bureau Chief from Parti Socialist Malaysia. And we're discussing wages. So, Sivaranjani, another argument that people bring up against minimum wage is that raising minimum wage will make businesses shut down. What are your thoughts on this?
Every time when there is a minimum wage increase, discussed by the government, every time there is a review, this is the argument posed by the even Malaysian Employers Federation and also
right.
all other like businesses. But we have a statistic. This is a government statistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Malaysia, the minimum wage was implemented in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, even now also, most of our businesses, like 80% of our businesses are SMEs.
All right.
So after the implementation of the minimum wage, we can see a data like in 2016 to 2021. And this is like data published by the Department of Statistics of Malaysia.
Right.
Then the department, and that data shows us like there's like in this period, 2016 until 2021, there's a huge increase of in SMEs.
Right.
Around 140,000 of SMEs has increased. That means in 2016, we had like a 1,086,157 SMEs. And it has been increased to 1,226,494 SMEs in 2021. So how they can justify if they really can't afford to pay the minimum wages, they should be shut down, right? There should
right.
be the statistics should give us the SMEs have, we have like most SMEs has been shut down. So the number of SMEs have gone down. But that is not the situation. So the statistic shows that there's
right.
more companies are coming up. So there is no issue of giving a minimum wage. So why all these arguments, which are not backed up with the statistic or data, are just being told outside in the media, just to create a bad narrative, you know, about the minimum wage and then create like a fear.
You mentioned the word fear. A lot of times this minimum wage argument comes up. There is a lot of fear, at least when I see on social media and all, among, let's say, if you're a Kopitiam owner, you're a, I don't know, like you're a goreng pisang seller with a couple of workers, you know, things like that. These kind of very small businesses, there's a lot of fear among these business class, so to speak, that if you increase minimum wage, I won't be able to cope anymore. What would you say?
You see, like for PSM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when everyone like shouting and then they crying about talking about like minimum wage will make me will shut down my business and everything. We will not like immediately like reactionary like people and say like, oh, in that case, like we should give you like extension or we should give you exemption from the implementing the minimum wage. We cannot come up with that kind of blanket like a kind of thing, you know, because then you will create a two class of minimum wage here. So but what we are trying to say, like businesses should be competitive, right?
Right.
If they can't be competitive, then they there's no way they should be able to survive. At the same time, the government also can come up with some measures, but it is strictly to be for the essential small industries.
Right.
It should be like the product, like a needs for the people. And it should be the government have some kind of obligation to help to save that industry. So in maybe they can come up with like short term, like how they want to like give some subsidies to this kind of industries. For the short term, like until they can like cope up with their businesses and then able to give like the minimum wage. And also like when we talk about the subsidies, the incentives to this like very essential small industries, we also cannot be very naive, like giving to the industries itself. Or we should, the government should also think like maybe how they can transfer this like incentives directly to the workers, you know.
Right.
Because many times what we have seen, even during the pandemic time, the government came up with a lot of subsidies idea through the SOCSO to the industries, like so to subsidize their wages and everything for the workers. But we have seen a lot of manipulation from the industries, which they are not really like giving to the workers, not implementing the they still go on like cutting off their wages, like all kind of deductions. So the measurement like to help the small industry should be like a direct transfer to the workers. Eventually, they should start to pay the workers as same as others.
Absolutely.
Because this is what we call minimum wage.
Yes.
If an industry is failed to pay the minimum wage to the worker and that industry is not eligible to be operate for me. So I will see like you are not eligible to be operate as a business.
Right.
If you can't even pay a decent, and minimum wage don't even be considered decent wage, okay?
Right.
It's not a decent wage, it's not a living wage. It's such a low wage, minimum wage. Even if you can't pay that and you are not competitive enough, the business, and you are eligible to be shut down.
Do you think that as a society, our mindset needs to change? Because like we are just talking, right? Whenever the question of minimum wage pops up, it's always, what about the businesses? What about the business class? What about the employers? What are they going to do? How are they going to survive? Will the business get shut down? Do you think people should start asking on a day-to-day basis, what about the workers? What about the workers who are earning rubbish salaries? How are they going to live? Do you think that my society needs to have this mindset shift?
Definitely. This narrative needs to be changed. Because how many workers do we think they ask in their own, like a factory, for example, when they're working place, how much of salary that CEO are taking back home? Mm-hmm. How much of the salaries like a big management staffs are taking back home?
Mm-hmm.
And how much the salaries that one normal operators are taking back home? And do they see the gap in the salaries? Then the gap is so huge. Do we ever think like, why this need of like so huge gap? And also the workers can think, oh, without me, definitely they can't run the industry. Definitely they can't run the factory. I have contributed so much into this factories, and my contribution and my like workforce has helped to build this industry. But end of the day, I was given a small chunk as a wages. But they are taking away like a big amount. Like we can see like even in the like a lot of GLCs companies, their CEO salaries is like 500,000, you know, per month. And to pay for their normal workers, like 1,500, they will be crying. So that's the need to be a shift in thinking. Like we need to question the other way. So why the wealth are being like enjoyed by this, a few of them? Why this like a very, very small numbers of people are enjoying the wealth that I have created?
Right.
That I have contributed. Isn't it I have the right to be given a decent wage? Malaysia is not like poorest country.
Yep.
We are a very wealthy country, but the wealth is concentrated at one place.
Right.
So now our duty is, we need to ask, how do we redistribute this wealth?
Absolutely.
For the betterment of everyone. Because it's not, the wealth is not created by this few of them. The wealth is created by the majority of the people. But end of the day, you are not sharing the wealth with the majority of the people. So there's a one percentage of the class of people who are taking away the bigger wealth that produced by the majority of the workers.
Our minimum wage in 2022 is 1,500. They just implemented. But the thing is, in today's age, in the era that we are in right now, there's an entirely new bracket of low-wage workers, which is the gig workers. We are talking about e-hailing drivers, and delivery people, and etc. But gig workers aren't covered in this 1,500 ringgit minimum wage, are they? What can we do about this?
Yeah, first of all, they don't even classify as a workers. So when we talk about the workers means like you have an employer and employee, there's a relationship exists. And most of these gig workers are working in the online platform.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, most of the time, they were treated as like, oh, you are an independent contractor, or you are a share partners with that particular platform, online platform. But in reality, they are not even sharing any profits gained by this gig company owners.
Right.
So they are normal workers. And they only like will be getting like a small piece of like the service charges, like for the service that they are providing. But these people are not even given an employment contract. These people are not given any like a minimum, like a minimum benefits like EPF, SOCSO, and other like so SIP, the EIS, employment mm-hmm. insurance system. There's no any other social protection for this people. So what like PSM's position on gig workers? We always say we are saying this group of workers are actually workers.
Mm-hmm.
They are not like any share partners or the independent contractors as how we are painting them. Like it looks nice, right? When you say like independent contractors or you are a share partners, the title looks nice. But what you're getting at the end of the day, what is the work that you're doing and what you're getting at the end of the day is really like nothing.
Absolutely.
So it's not really reflecting what on your labor that you mm-hmm. are giving to that thing. So they should be recognized as a workers, and they should be like even protected under the Employment Act in Malaysia. So this will give them some kind of like a protection. Even now the wages, they have no protection. There's nothing minimum they should be paid and nothing about that. And there's a protection, social protection. There's nothing
right.
for them. So we need to change. We need to recognize them as one of the group of workers, and they should be protected under the basic act that we have in Malaysia, which is Employment Act.
What should our minimum wage be today, and how can we go about implementing it, and how often should we revise our minimum wage?
I mean, the government came up with 1,500,
right.
But if you see PSM, we are advocating for the 1,800,
mm-hmm.
and together with like trade union, MTUC, and also like QPACS also came out with the same demand like us, like 1,800 should be paid as like a minimum wage in this country. And also, like as I said, the Bank Negara also like pushing, like saying like the wages are very low, and we think like the wages 5,500, it is still very low. And then we can still can consider for the better minimum wage like 1,800. But by saying this, like we also shouldn't forget that recently, after the minimum wage 1,500 announcement came in, and some of like industry like the PNB and then the KLCC, they were proudly, they announced, you know, they proudly announced, oh, we are going to pay all our permanent workers like starting wage is 2,500.
Right.
So that means it's like what we are even advocating 1,800 is for how low.
Right.
So there are industries really can come up and say, oh, we should pay 2,500. Oh, what you are the government saying 1,500 is very low. We can give a better wages to our workers. So this is like we need to acknowledge is like 1,500 is very low.
Mm-hmm.
So like 1,800 is like a decent. That some of the unions and the PSM is like advocating 1,800 should be paid as a minimum wage for now. And we also have like more examples, like some of the industries also willing to come up and say 2,500 is also a decent wage at this time. So these are the wages like amounts that we can consider, and how frequent we should review the minimum wage,
right.
Revise the minimum wage. Like what we have now with the government formula, the government Act is saying like 2 years once should be revised, and we really echo and then we really second this idea. Two mm-hmm. years once the review is really good, but how serious are they in reviewing like minimum wage 2 years once? Because we have seen in the history of implementation of the minimum wage since 2013, the review we supposed to had like by now is like five times of review by right. But we only had like about three times of review in the last
right.
Minimum wage implementation. So it looks like though they have like a timeline of 2 years once, but it has not been strictly followed.
Throughout this conversation, we've been talking about minimum wages. Minimum wage. What about the rest of the wages? Because let's say we set the minimum wage to even something like 1,800. There are people today holding master's degrees that are barely making 2,000 ringgit. Someone who's earning 3.5K in Selangor or KL can barely get by. That's just slightly above the estimated living wage of 2.7K, right? And this is without them owning a house or anything like that. Now, and so because of this, I've seen some arguments that say, you know, things like now low-wage workers are going to be making almost as much as me. How is that fair? Things like that. What is your response to this argument? And how do we tackle this issue of low wages, not just low minimum wage, but just low wages across the board?
Minimum wage was set as a national minimum wage.
Right.
But we have still a lot of other level of like industry level of like wages. Do we want to set a standard for this industry? They should get this much of wages. Also, the government can think about this kind from this perspective. Like I would say like one of the sector like a 3D.
Right.
The 3D sectors are like a more like dirty, difficult and dangerous work. The workers who are doing a work in this kind of like sectors. So how do you see this minimum wage is suitable for them? It's very low with the work that they are doing. So we should have a different standard, different standard of the wages for this people. And also like this is one thing like the government should think and we should lobby for it as well. It's very important because we need to look into the poverty from the across the border and in the different level of workers in the different sectors. Also, how do you want to protect them better? So one is like that, like we go by the industry. Also, some of the like idea we have is like, for example, like this is like, really, a lot of workers will ask us when we go to the ground, when we talk about the minimum wage, the lot of workers who are working in that workplace for very long, like for 10 years,
right.
20 years, they will always post this kind of questions to us. They'll tell, only we worked in this company like for 20 years, but only when there's a minimum wage increase, then only we are enjoying the wage increase. Other than that, there is nothing, there is no any scheme available to revise our wages based on the years of experience. So when the like 20 years of workers, well, 20 years service of workers who gets like enjoy like 1,500, a new worker joining in the same industry also will be enjoying the 1,500.
Right.
So it will be very unfair to them, you know. As I said, like all this actually, like you can really, if you have a union, in your collective agreement, you can address all this problem. That means the workers who worked on beyond these years, what is their wages should be? And okay, if let's say the workers worked beyond 10 years, so the salary should be reviewed 10% or something like that. It all will be written in the collective agreement. So they will, when they talk to the employer, they will talk for entire like working workers in that particular industry to review the wages. To tell like the more years of service will get more benefit and higher wages,
right.
Standard of wages. But we don't have such situation in Malaysia. So alternatively, what we can do is like we have a minimum law, like minimum standard law, which is the Employment Act. In the Employment Act also, there can be like a one particular area to talk about this, like a scheme, like how do you review the salary, like because we have like a basic benefits. What are the basic benefits for the workers are stated in the Employment Act.
Right.
And this is also can be parked under the Employment Act and says like, oh, someone who worked for more than 5 years should not be paid beyond this
right.
wages. Until more workers get unionized and then more workers have better bargaining power. So until that, this kind of temporary measurements should be in place to protect the salary of the workers in this country. So this is our suggestion.
When you say unionized, right, are you also referring to basically anybody who's an employee? I'm talking about, let's say you're an engineer, because engineers, we've heard a lot that they are getting really, really low salary these days. You know, also just 2,000 ringgit. You know, you're a graduate. You spend years doing your degree and things like that. You're getting 2,000 ringgit, 1,800, 2,300. Are we saying that, let's say, engineers, lawyers, all these people should also unionize?
Definitely. Because we think the government were also pro-corporate. They will think about our benefits, but which is not happening. The rakyat have to think how they can organize themselves to use their power to bargain a better benefits. So the only way is like organize yourself. In every sector, people need to organize themselves. People need to form a union. People need to create a collective agreement, things with their employers. And this is the only way, because this is more powerful way of getting more benefit, you know, because otherwise, if you don't build this power, you are going to rely on the state,
right?
The state which have corporate mentality to give you all the benefits that you wanted, which is not going to have. This is the narrative that we want to change, right? How the people should get empowered. How the people should use their power to come together, to form a union, to negotiate better deals with all these businesses. Because the state is not going to do unless it's a socialist state. So the power is in the hands of the people. So they need to get organized if they really want to get a better deal. They want to dismantle this, just now you said, we need to change the narrative, the thinking of the people.
Right.
So the thinking that we want to change is the power, you create the power. You are the powerful person. You are the rakyat is more powerful. So when you say rakyat is more powerful, you need to get organized yourself. You need to ask for the better deal. Bottom-up power is more important to change the real problems. Now we are relying on the top to bottom power. We think they will give us. No, we have to strategize our fight, and then we have to take the wealth that we created. So how do we want to do this? Organize ourselves as a union, and then we can demand for the better deal.
Would you have a final message for us?
We are not living in a poor country, so we need to understand that. We are a rich country. Malaysia is a rich country. But the problem is the wealth are concentrated in one place. We all know that the 90% of us have contributed to the wealth of this country. So we have this wealth need to be shared with us. So how do we want to make sure that happen? Okay, one is to make sure this government is act in favor to us. We have to make ourselves powerful. So PSM always believe the power is in people's hand. So the people need to organize themselves as a masses, as a movement, and must push this corporate mentality governments to get a better deal for us. We want a government that put peoples before profits. So how do you do it? Only through the people's power.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. That was Sivaranjani Manikam, Workers' Bureau Chief at Parti Socialist Malaysia. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.